very much. But my initial bone to pick with you is because you were asking, you asked a very intelligent question yesterday about if Ron Paul is that great a candidate. You didn't say it in particularly these words, but the gist of it was, where has the support been? Yeah. I mean, you know, the support on the various caucuses and the primaries and so forth that have taken place.
It's interesting you mention that. I'm sitting in front of my laptop right now. I have the numbers dialed up.
Okay.
And, you know, there have been, let me see, 8 contests so far in which real people have cast real votes. 4 of them have been won by Governor Romney. 1 of them has been won by Speaker Gingrich. 3 of them by Senator Santorum. Ron Paul is the only person who has not placed first in any of these, and as a matter of fact, has placed 4th in several, and is running 4th in popular votes. You know, I heard your promotional announcement. If the people who support him will just vote for him, there's nothing stopping them.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the people, thanks to our mainstream media, who like Ron Paul and would like to see him be president, but they believe the mainstream media that he can't win. So they're holding their nose and voting for Romney or voting for Santorum or whomever.
Actually, that's
what I think is happening. Now, maybe I'm all wet.
No,
but I'm sick of hearing everybody say, oh, Ron Paul's pretty good, and he's different,
Michael,
and he's special, but he can't win, so it's a wasted vote. And we don't want Obama back in.
Michael, not only, you know, I'm not the only one who says this. Ron Paul himself is a very intelligent man. You never heard me denigrate his capabilities.
No,
not once.
That's true.
I respect him. He is enough of a, you know, of a political observer. He knows he's not going to be nominated or elected this year, and he makes no bones about it.
Well, let's make him wrong.
Now, let's look at what he's, you know, again, intelligent man. He doesn't do stupid things. What is he doing? He's doing the thing he's done for, 10 or 12 years now. He runs for president every 4 years for the purpose of putting forward ideas that he finds attractive and very important. And I'll tell you what, he is succeeding, because nowadays he's getting a lot more media attention than he did 4 years ago or 4 years before that. So to simply say that, well, just because he's not going to be nominated, he hasn't accomplished anything, if Ron Paul were here, he'd say, I beg to differ.
I don't think he's getting much more media attention than he did four years ago, Charlie.
I think he's getting a lot
more media attention on independent stations like KSCO. Yeah,
no,
I'll go along with that.
No,
but the mainstream and the... No, really. I mean...
Yeah, no, he's the last couple of times, they acted as if he didn't exist at all. This time, he is being mentioned. You do see, sound bites of him and his supporters. No, he's getting more attention than he used to. But here's the thing.
Okay,
Ron Paul himself has given interviews just recently in which he spoke, you know, very candidly. He knows he's not going to be president. So what's he trying to accomplish? Well, first of all, to get his ideas out. But secondly, people keep forgetting this. Ron Paul's son, Rand, just got elected to a U.S. Senate seat from Kentucky. Ron Paul is, 78 years old? The American people aren't going to elect anybody president at the age of 78. I don't care how good they are. Ron Paul has prepared the ground, ideologically, for a future run for president by his son, Rand, who, frankly, I think is better at connecting with crowds anyway.
Charlie, wait a second here. Okay, this is good. You've said this before on your commute hour
I didn't.
Wife. You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
you didn't say this last thing. Okay, it's time to introduce our guest in the studio here. Too bad you're not here, but it's fine because you're definitely represented on the telephone through the magic of technology. Here is Ellie Black and Christopher Hoops, both of whom represent Santa Cruz Ron Paul Meetup Organization. Chris and Ellie, welcome to KSCO Studios. You're on the air with our good buddy Charlie.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Charlie.
Hi there. How you doing?
Well, I want to say you're doing a really great job espousing the views that your wife just introduced you to last night on your show.
I hadn't thought of it. And I confessed when I came up, I said, honey, you really came up with one there that I hadn't considered, but it makes all kinds of sense. And she made the point that, you know, Dr. Paul is not the kind of guy who thinks for just today. He's looking ahead.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Ron Paul, if there, I think any person who could settle this debate right now, if Ron Paul walked in and was honest, he said, no, I'm not going to get elected president this year.
Ron Paul's always honest.
Yeah.
That's something we really don't have to debate. We always know that he is.
But the thing, he would, you know, politicians are often less than candid about their own chances. But just the same, if he were being frank, he'd say, yeah, I know I'm not going to get elected this
year. I think he understands he has a juggernaut of opposition, and he's got a very difficult road towards his goals, if his goals are the White House, which I believe they are. I mean, he said over and over again, I'm in it to win. He was asked, what does winning look like for you? And he's like, to get to the White House, to be president. And it's quite obvious that he is trying, and a lot of it's under the radar. And we have to, if
by
we
design.
Want to talk about winnability,
by design
he's yeah. going under the radar. And if we want to talk about winnability, we have to talk about the design of the electoral process. Because you said he hasn't won any of the straw polls or any of the caucuses or whatever.
He's actually won numerous straw polls.
Yeah.
So the caucuses are a different story than the straw polls.
But we have...
Ellie's absolutely right about that. Straw polls really are just exercises in so much publicity. They count for nothing.
A caucus is just a nationally publicized straw poll.
No,
and the facts are, like the Iowa caucus, no one even won... delegates at Iowa. They haven't even been awarded yet. They still have to go to the convention in the state. And I wrote down the date for that one. It's June 16th.
Yeah,
and then
the caucus results will be used as, you know, to apportion the delegates. But the point is, these are real people casting real votes for real candidates.
Right.
At least we can agree on that.
Not real votes. Real opinions.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, no. Votes.
Right. Well, listen.
I think it's important to get back to what matters here, and it really comes down to may the best man win. And my experience in the last few years of working, campaigning for Ron Paul and educating people about the issues, because that's really what this is about. It's not about one man. It's not about Romney. It's not about Gingrich. It's not about Ron Paul. It's about the issues and concerns that are being brought up. And the bottom line is people need to see that these are issues that matter to everybody. It's not a left-right issue. It's not a Romney issue or Ron Paul issue. These are we the people issues.
Yeah, that's why I think people are finally waking up to that. They hadn't awakened 4 years ago. They have now. Whether it's enough, I don't know. But I think it may well be. I think people are getting as distrustful of the media as they have become of the right and the left paradigm.
I think a clear example of that is Washington State. Ron Paul was just up there, and he could pack every building he went to. We had thousands of people showing up to see him. And I grew up in Washington State. There are very disillusioned folks up there. And they swing back and forth from Republican to Democrat, Republican, looking for someone that they can trust. And they literally flock to this guy. And it's an example of the type of people who are disillusioned, and they have finally found someone that they actually can trust. And I believe that the base of America, the swing voters and the independents, are just like that. And they're all over this country. They're not just in the Northwest.
Well, what you just pointed out about Dr. Paul's ability to fill a hall with supporters or to turn people out for a caucus or something like this is absolutely true, and it's something that we've known about him for a long time. The people who are attracted to Ron Paul feel very strongly about it. Their level of commitment is tremendously high. And so they're the ones who are willing to go where they have to go, stay as long as they have to stay, and make sure that their voices are heard. Don't get me wrong. That's a good thing. I'm not offering this as criticism. I'm merely saying that it's part of what goes on. The problem with it is that the number of people out of the total who feel that commitment is nowhere near a majority, not enough to elect. The thing is, it has grown over the years. Dr. Paul is turning more people out in 2012 than he did in 2008, right?
That is true. He's increasing his vote total by sometimes 100, 200%, and the supposed front runner is losing votes compared to 2008. He's not doing as well as he did 4 years ago.
In several states, that's true. The thing is that Dr. Paul still does not have the kind of national following that's going to get him either a nomination.
That's according to mainstream media.
No. It's according to the number. I'm not talking about what I read in the papers. As a matter of fact, I generally don't read what they print about Dr. Paul in the mainstream papers because I don't trust it.
So where do you get your information?
I'm looking strictly at, right now, I'm looking at a page in Real Clear Politics where all it does is list the number of votes that the four Republicans who are still standing, who are contending for the nomination, have received. And Dr. Paul is running fourth in a field of four. And this is not because anybody from Time magazine came and barred the door and kept you from going down to vote. As a matter of fact, we just agreed Dr. Paul's supporters are the people who will vote. They're the most likely to show up. That's one of the great things about Dr. Paul's people is that they are committed. But there aren't enough of them yet.
Charlie, may I ask you a personal question?
Gosh. Okay.
Okay. Clearly, you do not believe that Ron Paul can win. Okay, that is the main
question.
That's the topic of this program today, of the 2-hour
Correct.
Saturday special.
That's how I understood
now,
it. Yeah.
Now, so here's the personal question I'm going to ask you. Put that aside, okay? Or pretend for a minute that we had gotten through to you,
okay?
And you decided that Ron Paul could win.
Okay.
Here's the personal question. Will you vote for Ron Paul?
No, because I don't agree with his ideas on foreign policy. I think for national security, I've got real problems with the gentleman.
Okay.
Doesn't keep me from respecting him, and particularly when it comes to domestic policy, when he talks about shutting down the Department of Energy and the Department of Education, I think that those are great ideas. I've been for them for a long time. I dream of the day when these things will come to pass. But
things you don't like about Ron Paul seem to outweigh the things that you like about Ron Paul, apparently.
I would rather find somebody that I could be a little more comfortable with when it comes to the very important issues of our national security and our role in the world.
And who might that be?
I'm comfortable with Governor Romney. I've been supporting him now for about a couple of months, and I believe that he'll do a better job, certainly, than Barack Obama has done, and I think he has a more realistic take on the world than Dr. Paul does.
It's one of the few times I wish that there was television in the studio here, because you could have seen people gagged.
I'd
like to bring up a point.
Including me.
I'm not sure if everyone listening is aware of this, but I'd like to bring this up. In response to that, Charlie, I'm not sure everyone's aware that Ron Paul has consistently been receiving more support from active military than all of the other Republican candidates combined, and more support than the other Republican candidates combined, including Barack Obama. More than all of them combined. So that's got to say something about his foreign policy.
The people who enact the foreign policy are the ones telling us very clearly through their money and their promotions that they want Ron Paul to believe his foreign policy is sane. And you know what? The reason why his foreign policy may seem insane to some people is because we've been fed insanity.
You're not comfortable with it.
For decades.
I didn't use that word. I didn't say insane. I have some differences of judgment with Dr. Paul. I never said he was insane or that his policy was insane.
I've heard the word over and over again, that's all.
There's no need for that sort of,
No, I've never heard Charlie speak disparagingly. But I do want to sort of pin Charlie down here. Is it correct to say that you're not completely comfortable with Ron Paul's foreign policies?
I'm not completely comfortable with any of them. But yes, Dr. Paul has demonstrated a number of times that he follows pretty much the Pat Buchanan line on what the United States role ought to be in the world. He has questioned whether we should have participated in World War II. This is one of those things where I think he's definitely on the wrong side, not only on the issue, but of history.
Can you give us some current examples?
Well, there was a post online recently by one of the people who's worked in his office for years who indicated that everybody was very shocked when he actually did vote for the resolution following 9/11, because he had indicated to his staff that he wasn't going to. And then finally, at the end, I guess he changed his mind. The idea being that, you know, it simply was impossible, given the district he represents in the state of Texas, for him to vote no. But he certainly wanted to. He has many times indicated that he feels that President Bush was complicit in the blowing up of the World Trade Center, which I think is just plain inadmissible.
I think he's made it very clear. He said it very clearly that he does not believe that George Bush was involved in that.
That is true.
He's been kind of waffly on that from time to time.
I don't believe he's been waffly. I think he's been clear.
No, he's actually ticked off a lot of people who wish that he would say that he felt that George Bush was complicit. He's ticked off a lot of people and lost support as due to that, due to his refusal to claim any sort of belief in that.
If that's the case, then I think he made a wise choice. But
where did you get the idea that you had or have?
No, as I say, there was a lengthy post not that long ago. I wish now that I'd saved it, I'd forward it to you. But it was a fellow who'd been active as his chief of staff in his congressional office for something like 12 years, and had a long history with Dr. Paul going back to before when Clinton was still in office. And he wrote this post concerning his attitudes towards various and sundry events that had happened in the meantime, and how shocked everybody in the office was when he finally decided, well, yeah, I'll go ahead and vote for this resolution. That had not been where he'd been speaking.
I don't feel like you really gave us any specifics. Various and sundry is not very specific.
I don't have the doggone thing in front
so
of me.
So you're just kind of like throwing mud and hoping it makes sense.
No, I'm not throwing mud. I'm reciting something that that I read online, which I, I consider to be from a reasonably respectable
So the thing you read online wasn't very specific because you're reciting it.
Oh, no, it was quite specific, but it's been weeks since I read it, and I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
Well, Charlie, I can say that I have never, and I've looked for it, I've never found anything anywhere where Ron Paul has said, either on video or written word, that he has ever claimed that the Bush administration had any hand in the 9/11 events.
Okay. Well, in that case,
he, denies it very strongly.
Let's put it this way. I'm very glad to hear that. And I'll go ahead and chalk that one up.
I'm very glad that you're glad.
And I'm very glad that you're glad that he's glad.
You asked me, though, concerns about foreign policy that are current.
Yeah.
I worry very much about his attitude towards, for example, the efforts of the Persians to acquire nuclear weapons. And, Dr. Paul seems to feel that this is simply not American business.
I'd like to interject something here. We had nuclear weapons off the coast of Florida at one point, and the way we dealt with it wasn't by invading and destroying Russia, who we couldn't say the leader of Russia at that time was exactly of sound mind, but we dealt with it by having conversations and making compromise. And the nuclear weapons were actually just off our coast. These aren't even nuclear weapons that exist yet, and they're on the other side of the world, and we have a nuclear power willing to deal with them when that time comes. And they've actually asked us to stand down, and that's Israel. They've asked us to let them take care of it.
Which is very surprising, but it's very true.
They've also made it clear that they're very, very anxious to have our diplomatic support, and they will need at least some tactical support.
There's a pregnant silence here that I'm wondering about.
The thing is that we're kind of borrowing disaster here. The thing is that I don't know. I'm certainly not advocating an invasion of Iran. I get phone calls occasionally. Do you advocate invading Iran? That's ludicrous. As a matter of fact, on several levels, that would be just a nutty thing to do. What I do believe we need to do is to present a very solid diplomatic front, so that they are, and this is what we did. You talked about the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is how that was resolved. When President Kennedy finally decided, okay, I'm drawing the line in the sand. Here's the blockade this far and no farther. And the Soviets were able to understand that, and we wound up standing down.
Drawing that, the line in the sand doesn't mean making a compromise. Drawing line in the sand means absolutely the opposite. And well, we did make a compromise. What, they removed their nuclear weapons from Cuba, and we removed ours from Italy and Turkey. That's a compromise. That's not drawing line in the sand. So if you've got to, if you're going to make these images that are very strong, you have to make them correctly. And that's saying we're not making a compromise.
Well, but
the, if you cross this line, then you cross to the other side.
What we give up there, granted, this was something that the Soviets really had no right to, and Kennedy gave it up anyway. That's another part of the Cuban Missile Crisis we could get into. But insofar as the blockade was concerned, that was a line in the sand. You don't have to call it one if you don't want to, but that's what it was. In this case, it was a line in the ocean, a line of United States warships. And I think the closest the Soviets approached to it was something like 10 minutes away when the word finally came, okay, don't do this. So there was a point at which it was the irresistible force meeting the immovable object, and one had to give, and it did, and we all thank God for that. Also, it's worth mentioning, Mr. Khrushchev was not able to survive that. Within, I believe, a year, his colleagues, I guess if you could call them that, had deposed him and replaced him with Brezhnev and Kosygin.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I want to let our audience know that they're listening to KSCO, their favorite radio station. Okay, it's MZ with the Saturday special. We have guests Christopher Hoops, Ellie Black, and Charles Friedman on with us. We're discussing the topic du jour, which is, can Ron Paul win the presidency, given his greatly increasing popularity? And I say the answer to that is yes, but only if people do not believe the mainstream media that keeps hammering what they think is true, which I think is not true, that he cannot win. Yeah, Chris.
I was raised by a very conservative man, my father, and he raised me with the belief that you should vote for the person who you think should win, not for the person who you think can win. And this whole idea that we need to vote for the person who you think can win is the reason why we get charlatans in offices, the reason that we have thieves and murderers running our country.
Yeah.
Give us war propaganda. I mean, the Iraq war was based on propaganda. There were no weapons of mass destruction.
Chris,
George Bush admitted to that, and he made fun of that fact.
Charlie is at least consistent. Wait, Charlie. Charlie is consistent. I would have, when I asked him if he would vote for Ron Paul, if he thought he could be elected, he said, no, he's not my cup of tea. Exactly. He's going to vote for Romney, I think you said. And so at least he's consistent.
There you go.
I wonder how many people.
Chris, one thing I have a problem with. Now you've begun talking about the Iraq war and like that. At this point, you're not talking about President Obama anymore. You're talking about President
Bush.
No,
but it relates because the exact same propaganda given to us about Iran is what we were given in for Iraq. The same thing. They have weapons. They're going to destroy.
Essentially, what you are doing is reciting that old Bush lied, people died mantra that I've been listening to for years, and it's not true. Bush never lied. He had the best information that was available at the time. He wasn't the only person who believed there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So did the French. So did the Germans. So did even the Russians who were opposing us on Iraq policy. None of them questioned the idea that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. You point out quite correctly that it eventually turned out he didn't. We've subsequently found out the why and wherefore of that. But the key issue insofar as Ron Paul is concerned, he has spoken against having American forces involved when there is no congressional action. And in the case of Iraq and Afghanistan, when Mr. Bush wanted to do something, he crossed his T's and dotted his I's. He went to the United States Congress. He got votes on resolutions which were absolutely clear, and that congressional authority was there. Now, if you want to pick a fight with Mr. Obama for what he did in Libya last year without any congressional approval, then I'll sign on.
Okay, we're on the same page. You're listening to the Saturday Special with Charlie Friedman, Ellie Black, Christopher Hoops, and poor old MZ here. And if you join the conversation, join the fray, call us at 479-1080 in area 831 or email us mz@ksco.com. We're going to go to the phone lines. I think we're going to start going to the phone lines right now. The topic, here's what I'm interested in. Can Ron Paul win, yes or no? Okay, I want you to answer that question first when we put you on the air. And we're not going to give you more time to expand on that. Obviously, we want to make this a nice civil discussion, and I'm really happy that Charlie agreed to come on today because it was going to be very simple to get people on the other side to say Ron Paul can win and should win. But I wasn't sure how easy it was going to be to get a super articulate person on from the other side. It'll be very interesting to see, Charlie. The phone lines are absolutely jammed now. And be very interesting to see how many of the callers agree with you.
I don't think you'll get any.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
We'll find out. I mean, I walked into this knowing that, I was not going to be enunciating ideas that would fall on people's ears like lotus blossoms. But that's all right. I'm flattered that you asked me.
That's why we love you, Charlie. And you and Dave do an absolutely fabulous job that I and everybody that I talk to really appreciates and is very proud of. So, you know, way to go. Let's go to our first caller who's been waiting for some time. That would be Sean in Pacific Grove. Sean, you're on with Charlie and MZ. And
MZ,
Christopher.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
All right. I guess it's a good time for me to come on the foreign policy debate. I'm an active duty military officer down here. Obviously, nothing I say represents what the military thinks, so I just want to make that clear right away. But yes, Ron Paul can win. And I have some foreign policy things I'd like to talk about if there is time.
I wonder how many people think that Ron Paul can win but don't think he should win. I assume you think he can win and should win. Am I right?
That is right, MC.
Okay, good.
I do think. I'm one of his donors, one of the active duty military people who donate to his campaign.
I really like that guy. He's the only person that my gut tells me is honest. All the others suck in that regard. There is no such thing as integrity anymore in the body politic of the United States of America. And it sickens me to say that, but I truly believe that, except for this Ron Paul guy. Mm-hmm. No? But, yeah, go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry.
All right, so basically, I think what people do is they try to demonize him as being not protecting America or protecting America. Now, I've deployed 5 times since 9/11. 4 have been to the Middle East and Middle Eastern countries. I've been to a lot of them. You need to separate the people there and their governments. I mean, right now it's a government to government going back and forth on who's demonizing who. Iranian people, Afghani people, Iraqi people. We don't want to demonize the Americans based on what they have to think. And the more action we have over there, we tend to do that. So, I mean, if we go into Iran, and let's say we do have action over there, that's going to consolidate the Iranian people against us and create more enemies. That's something that should at least be discussed. And then the second thing is that when Ron Paul talks about declaring war, he talks about a congressional declaration of war, which hasn't been done since World War II, which is the last war we actually had policy objectives in. Basically, something that was we wanted a surrender of the Japanese and German governments, and it was over in, you know, a couple years. So that's something to think about. When the military gets a good policy objective, they tend to do their job. Now, when you string them out and say, "We'll rebuild the country" or do something like that, you're not going to always get a concise end to the war, and it tends to drag out. Nobody knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing, so that should be part of the discussion.
Okay. Well, you've made it part of the discussion. Thank you. we got quite a number of other callers, but we want to make sure that you get all of what you wanted to say out, Sean. So got anything else to add?
No, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a debate. You know, the military actually wants to have policy objectives. We want to have a clear objective in the war so we can form our strategy.
And there hasn't been too much of that from either the Bush administration nor the Obama administration. Is that your point?
Obviously, I'm not going to comment on our previous presidents. You can infer that from what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, me being active duty, I'm not going to make that
declaration. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine.
But I think you can get from what I'm saying exactly what I believe on that issue.
Okay. I think you've just answered it. So thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate your call to the Saturday special at 479-1080 in area 831. We're going to take a commercial break right now. We got Neil in Scotts Valley, Bill in Monterey, Gerard in Aptos, Thomas in Scotts Valley. Of course, we have Charlie still here. And Paul in Felton. Where are the women folk? Where are the women folk? Well, we have Ellie here in the studio, but where are the ladies? We're not, the phone line is jammed. Phones are jammed, but no women callers. Anyhow, stay with us. There's a lot more to come. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special with MZ and the gang. Take it away, Easton.
Ace Hardware Stores are your ace in the hole when you're looking for anything around the home. In Watsonville, Freedom, Marina, Salinas, and Gilroy, you'll find friendly Ace Hardware Stores, locally owned, part of a 5,000-store chain for buying power, but with the local service that you expect at a local store. Try it yourself. I did just the other day. Walk in. I was looking for a couple of sheets of sandpaper, of all things. Guy greeted me within a few seconds of my walking through the door. I'm in the back of the store. I get what I want. He takes me to the check stand, checks me out. I think I was in the store maybe about 4 minutes, but I'm on my way with exactly what I wanted and a smile on my face because I'm not late for work. That's Ace Hardware Service. Try getting that at the big box store. Locally owned in Watsonville, Freedom, Marina, Salinas, and Gilroy, Ace Hardware Stores are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8. Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 6. Ace Hardware, your ace in the hole.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need.
Alex is right. Check it out for yourself. Go to KSCOteam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Liquid Complex Dietary Supplement. KSCOteam.com. That's KSCOteam.com.
Our local Red Cross responds to over 2 home fires every week here in the Monterey Bay Area, and electrical problems are a leading cause of home fires. Hello, I'm Chris Jensen with JM Electric. One cause of home electrical fires is degradation, which simply means that your electrical wiring and connections have become old and worn out. Prime conditions for starting a fire in your home. JM Electric's current safe inspection can determine if there is degraded wiring inside your walls. To see if your home can benefit from a current safe inspection, call JM Electric today for a free, no-obligation assessment, 422-7819, or jamelectric.com. Now a word from our friends at your local Red Cross.
Hello, I'm Camilla Belluti, and the development manager at the Santa Cruz County chapter of the Red Cross. There were 117 home fires in the Monterey Bay area last year, which means a lot of families needed our help. You can help them by donating your time and money to your Santa Cruz and Monterey Red Cross chapters. We thank you, and your friends and neighbors thank you too.
Well, I'm sure you must have heard this again and again.
What would you get if you combined the great taste of that breakfast drink Tang along with 187 different vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes added in the healing properties of green tea?
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Let me share with you a new tasty treat idea. Take one packet of Polymers energy drink and pour it into a hot cup of water. That's right, a hot cup. Mmm, tastes delicious, especially in these cold, chilly days. or instead of a cup of coffee or tea.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Long-term sustained energy without the jitters. It helped people lose weight and gave more cellular nutrition than the best multivitamin known to man.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
The natural energy drink polymers. Try it, you'll like it.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Maybe I shouldn't announce that the phone lines are jammed, because then people don't even try to call. When that first caller left, you know, hung up, when we finished with him, I expected that the call that would be replaced immediately. But there's one space open now to call 479-1080. So if you want to do it, go ahead and do it, 479-1080. And there it goes, in area 831. So don't just presume, because people do hang up. They get tired of waiting or whatever. Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. We're asking the question, can Ron Paul win? And if he can, should he win? Okay, yeah, and we have a person here, our wonderful host from the afternoon happy hour PM drive show, Charles Friedman. Charles is on the phone with us, and here in the studio, and Charles takes the position, no, Ron Paul absolutely can't win, and even if he could win, shouldn't win. And even though he does like certain things about Ron Paul and respects him quite a bit. And
Michael?
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
I made the point that, you know, I'm supporting somebody else.
Yes.
On the other hand, if Ron Paul were on the ballot in November somehow against Barack Obama, I would vote for Ron Paul. So, you
before you would vote for Barack Obama,
I'm convinced that Mr. Paul would be a great improvement over the present president. So, you know, I just don't want people to get the idea that, every time somebody mentions the name Ron Paul, I start frothing at the mouth. That's simply not true.
That's what I thought.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
I thought, actually. On my commute home from over the hill, I actually thought that you were frothing at the mouth when people called about Ron Paul.
Yeah. So anyhow,
I'm glad that's cleared up.
It's nice. And was there ever a time that you were frothing at the mouth regarding Ron Paul, Charlie?
Some of his supporters drive me bats.
Okay. All right.
On the other, that brings up an entirely different question. But Dr. Paul is not the first or only politician ever to be sometimes actually embarrassed by some of the excessive things said or done by some of the people who support him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just part of what happens in American politics from time to time.
All right. Well, listen, let's go back to the phone lines now. Neil in Scotts Valley is up next on the Saturday special with Charlie and Nelly and MZ and our good friend Christopher. So you're on the air.
Hey, MZ. How's it going?
Good, Neil.
Thanks for having me on. Real quick, I don't think Ron Paul can win.
Is it because the mainstream media is just against him and is still too powerful? Is that the reason you think he can't win?
I just don't think he has the majority of the people that will vote for him because of his ideas. But also, keep in mind, whoever the Republican nominee is going to be killed by the mainstream media. So, you know, if they think it's bad now, if he was the nominee, it would be, you know, infinitely worse.
Well, hope that he'll, if he doesn't get the Republican, that certainly wouldn't surprise me that he doesn't get the Republican nomination. But assuming that is the case, I'm hoping that he will run as an independent or whatever, and I think
At that point, I will pay for kidnappers who will come and spirit him away to an undisclosed location.
Yeah. We totally disagree on that. You think it's the Ralph Nader,
I don't think it. I know it.
Yeah, no, I disagree with you. Different world now, Charlie.
With
the internet and citizen journal and people who think for themselves, you know.
Yes,
totally different world, and you don't seem to understand that.
You don't seem to understand that Mr. Obama has a lot of people who are willing to vote for him. They're misguided, and I have problems with their logic and et cetera, but they are there and they're real. And if we divide the vote against President Obama, we will lose. I don't think – and let me say something else on that very quickly. I don't think Ron Paul's going to do that. I don't believe.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, and I hope you're wrong, and I hope that he does do that, and I hope that he wins because of it. because I think that that's a very real possibility, and I think that would be the most wonderful thing that could happen to this country. As far as I'm concerned, if Romney or any of these other Republican bought and paid for and globalist people are on the ballot, and that those are the only choices that you have. It's no better. You might as well vote for Obama, because you're not going to get anything different with any of these Republicans. Don't you understand that?
Sure you are.
What?
Probably get more war.
You'll probably get more war.
I think MZ hit on something very, very important, which is that people are thinking for themselves. Anybody that has access to the internet can go online and look and Google something like kids supporting Ron Paul. There are children out there, literally kids that are 12, 14 years old out there campaigning for Ron Paul because they know and they understand what's going on. Because Ron Paul's stances and the issues that he talks about, these are not Republican issues. They are not Democrat issues. It's not anything other than constitutional issues that affect every single person in this country.
Ellie, you just brought back a very fond memory for me.
MZ, am I still on?
You're on, Neil.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, I'm also in the military, and I'm not supporting Ron Paul, but the one thing regarding the Iranian nuclear issue was brought up that we talked with the Russians and were able to get that handled. The radical Islamist mind is so much different than the Russian mind we were dealing with. I don't think it's apples and oranges to think that the same.
Good point.
I disagree. Yeah. Actually, the mind of the communists was world domination. They wanted to spread communists around the world. They were not interested in just keeping it in Russia.
The mind of the radical Islamists is not necessarily. I mean, it is to spread Islam, but also it's to bring about these. The caliphates and all these different things where...
There's not much difference. The communists, Stalin killed 80 million people, and that was to bring about, that was to further encourage the communist revolution and the communist mindset. He did it to his own people, and he was perfectly willing to do more than that to others. I don't know about Islamic extremists killing 80 million people, and Mao Zedong could easily have killed over 100 million people.
If they have the firepower, whatever that may be, to do so, I believe they would. But also, real quick, check out a book Charlie turned me on to called Closing of the Muslim Mind. Great book. Great show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate your call to 479-1080 in area 831. That's the KSCO Saturday special. If you want to join us, feel free. We got one line open now. Our next caller is going to be Bill Myers from the Monterey area. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet.
I think Chris and Ellie are doing a great job representing us in Santa Cruz, doing a great job on the radio there. So I'm the organizer for the meetup in Monterey, and we've got 60-plus members now. We fervently believe that Ron Paul can win and is winning.
Yes, good. All right.
I like you.
So do I.
So my question to Charlie is on foreign policy is, what is about Romney's foreign policy that you believe is superior to Ron Paul's?
I think Romney has better advice. People like Josh Bolton, who is one of the best foreign policy experts we have in the Republican Party. And it interested me that Speaker Gingrich actually said if he was elected president, he would have Bolton as his Secretary of State, and about 2 weeks later, Bolton rather pointedly came out and endorsed Governor Romney for president. So, with foreign policy, Romney is not a foreign policy expert. Neither is Ron Paul, neither is Santorum. That's one thing all these four Republicans share. You know, they're not Condoleezza Rice or, Henry Kissinger. They're more domestic people. Their foreign policies will be as good as the people they get to advise them. And Romney shows me that he will pick people I have real confidence in, Bolton being number one.
However, out of all four of those, Ron Paul's the only one who's actually served this country in the military. So you're right. Three of them are very domestic, and one of them has served.
Well, I was in the Navy 6 years, but I wouldn't say that gives me foreign policy cred.
No, but to bring it up and consider them all domestic, I don't really think it's fair to not
I'm talking about their political experience, you know, being a governor, being a United States senator, and so on, and the issues that they concentrate on.
I don't know exactly what committee, but I know that Ron Paul was on a foreign policy congressional committee, and I believe he was even the head of it. And he's also on the Monetary Policy Committee. I don't know the name of the committee. I wish I did. I should memorize all these.
Monetary policy is one of his strong suits. He's an expert on that.
Yeah.
All right.
And, boy, that sure ties right in because it really comes down to money. Even if everybody who supported Ron Paul wanted to continue the military presence that we have all over the planet, there's no way that we can afford to do so. It's just like, you know, if we wanted to send financial aid to all these countries that are suffering and try to bring them up out of a third world existence, it'd be great if we wanted to, but we simply cannot afford it. And continuing to use the Federal Reserve to print up money that's backed with thin air is just going to continue to devalue the dollar to the point that we will have inflation in this country. I mean, I have already noticed it in food prices alone.
Oh, big time.
And that is a very real reality.
Gas up 30 cents in the last 2 weeks.
So just because Romney wants to continue on a certain type of foreign policy doesn't mean that this country can afford it. It will break our back.
Yeah, you're complaining about gas, Charlie. Boy, you ain't seen nothing yet if Romney gets elected.
Well,
so anyhow, it's the Democrats or the Republicans. It's one and the same. It's Tweedledum and Tweedledee. People don't get it.
Michael, that is simply not true. Any one of the four Republicans running would immediately approve the Keystone Pipeline. Any one of the four Republicans running would immediately support and sign legislation repealing Obamacare. This business of saying, well, anybody except Ron Paul are all the same, that is patent nonsense.
Now, I've read stuff about the Keystone Pipeline, and if we have access to the oil, then it probably would be net benefit. Because to go into war to get oil, that's not good. And transporting across the globe, that has a lot of dangers involved. And the Keystone Pipeline has some insecurities about it, but it's domestic oil, at least American oil. And I think that
not only that, but a pipeline is not only the most efficient and cheapest way to transport petroleum.
But I have read that we will not have access to that oil.
We've forgotten about poor Bill Myers, who wants to say something. Go ahead, Bill, real quick.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was still on the air.
You are.
Okay, so you know, getting back to the foreign policy question, here's the thing. I feel like, with as much military support that Ron Paul has, the contributions that he's getting, should we be, you know, taking some notes here from the people who are on the front lines and, you know, who are experts at foreign policy because they see exactly what's happening? I feel like I can, you know, accept their endorsements or their contributions rather than somebody who might be looking for political gain or some sort of media attention by endorsing, you know, Romney, the so-called front-runner. So I'd rather go with, you know, people who are grassroots supporters who voluntarily go out there and seek information on Ron Paul instead of people who are just pushing the party line or pushing for their own agenda. We all know Ron Paul is not that guy. So, you know, the fact is that it comes down to you and me, you know, determining can or cannot be elected.
Yeah, it comes down to people. I believe it comes down to people believing the mainstream media or not. If they believe the mainstream media, Ron Paul will not be president. If they don't believe the mainstream media, there's a good chance he will be president.
And if you look at the mainstream
real simple
media, they're owned by big corporations.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been pointed out. Listen, we got all these people waiting, including humble Brian the Great is going to be on. But we're already partway into the news, so I'm just going to say thanks for listening to hour number one. KSCO Santa Cruz, Luis Monterey, San Jose.
Here's your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey. From San Jose to Salinas, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
Let's continue with hour two of the Saturday special and encore with MZ.
From San Jose to Salinas, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
I'm telling people what happened to Michael Savage on this station and why we dropped him. So yeah, I got, sorry, that was my cue and I missed it.
It's okay. Everyone forgives you.
I should be fired for that. I mean, anyhow, listen, this is very, very important. Joe in Monterey, Rochelle in Boulder Creek. Rochelle in Boulder Creek? We finally got a lady to call. This is cool. GT in Watsonville, Humble Brian Thomas in Scotts Valley, Charles Friedman and Paul in Felton. Not necessarily in that order. Please do not hang up. I know you've been hanging on the phone for a long time, and I know it's probably starting to irritate you, but what we're going to do right now, at the request of our in-studio guests, is play a little piece for about 3 minutes or so. And Christopher, tell us what this piece is. What are we going to hear here? Okay, I got to turn you on, don't I?
This is a speech Ron Paul gave. I don't remember the year. It was during Bush. It's short. It was during the Bush times, and it's just very thought-provoking. And a lot of people have listened to it and supported them just from this speech.
Okay. So remember, guys, do not hang up because we're going to go to your phone calls right after. But here it is.
Madam Speaker, I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war in preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good. And I yield back the balance of my time.
It is definitely a powerful message, but God, and I should point out that's from a video. It's an audio track from a YouTube video, I guess. But if it were me, I would not have put that music behind that. I think it really distracted the whole. So it took me, you know, half of that three minutes to even, you know, relax enough to pay attention to what Ron Paul was saying. But anyhow, he said some great stuff. He made a really, really good point. If he's wrong, you know, so what? If he's right, you know, you know, he's not heeded, all kinds of things wrong. Go ahead there.
I chose that audio file this morning in a little bit of a hurry. I listened to the first few seconds.
I'm not coming down on you. Just think that you should find that speech without the damn music, you know, and then it'll be real. It'll be really, my mother agrees too. No, we all think the same. I mean, I used to fire people at KSCO for putting music, you know, with lyrics, for talking over music with lyrics, because it's very, very distracting. And this what this guy had to say here, you don't want even instrumental music with no lyrics in there, you know, to detract from what he's saying. Anyhow, it's the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Second hour we're into right now. Pilot in control here is Easton Allen. Thank you, Easton. We're going to go back to the phone lines now. And I really want to thank all of the callers for waiting. Let's take them in order that they have been waiting here. And we promise that please stay on the phone. We will get to you here. Joe in Monterey, welcome to the Saturday special. You are on the air.
Hi. Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say I absolutely think that Ron Paul has a good chance of winning. And I'm very dumbfounded by these two guys, Charlie and the Friedman man,
It's one and the same person. The Charlie and the Friedman person is the same person.
Oh, I thought we had two different guys. Well, anyway, I'm dumbfounded by what he said on the foreign policy, and he said if Obama was running versus Ron Paul, even though he doesn't support Ron Paul, he said he would vote for Ron Paul. It sounds like his preference would be probably Romney or Gingrich. But, you know, on Ron Paul, you know, what a strange foreign policy he has. He doesn't want to start wars and more wars. And, you know, a war against Iran is probably going to set off World War III. But Ron Paul is against all these wars. You know, what a strange foreign policy he has, that he wants to bring peace to the world instead of dropping bombs. You know, how many American men and women will still come home in body bags because of these wars? We need to end these wars, and Ron Paul has made it very clear that he will do that. You know, Ron Paul is the only presidential candidate who defends the Constitution. We are losing our freedoms in our country. If you look at the Patriot Act, which Ron Paul called the death of the Bill of Rights Act, rightly so, and you look at the NDAA, we're losing our freedoms in our country, and Ron Paul will stop all of that. You know, as far as this Friedman guy saying that he would vote for Ron Paul only if he were up against Obama, I think that is ludicrous, because these other two guys, Gingrich and Romney, they're twin brothers of Obama.
And don't forget Santorum.
Except
he doesn't like abortion.
I don't think they're twins. I think they're quadruplets, right?
Okay.
I think that's the right.
They're quadruplets. They're all the same. They're all going to bring us more of the same. We're going to be losing more of our freedoms. We're going to be in more wars. We're going to have more of the same disastrous foreign policy that is making America a degenerate country, a country which is despised by the rest of the world.
Joe, are you a regular listener to KSCO?
Occasional listener.
All right. Well, I invite you to listen. You can listen to the Charles Friedman guy. Every weekday on KSCO from 4 to 7 p.m., he's extremely articulate and extremely intelligent. He really is. And I would urge you to do that. And I would also urge you to call into the program and engage in discussion with him and engage in respectful debate. And that's one thing about Charlie. You might not like what he says, but he will always be respectful toward you, and he will always give you a chance to say your piece. Won't you, Charlie?
Absolutely. That's the whole point of the program.
Right. So anyhow, Joe in Monterey, I thank you for calling in. You and I are definitely on the same page, on this one. And I hope you'll listen more and participate more with KSCO because you are a very articulate and intelligent caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next caller will be da-da-da, Rochelle in Boulder Creek. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, can you hear me?
Very well. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you very well as well.
Good.
I think Ron Paul can win. And the reason I think Ron Paul can win is that I am or have been a lifetime Democrat. And I think the people that voted for Obama because they wanted change were all disappointed and they didn't get it. And they are looking for that type of change, and they are looking for our country to be great again. And they think somebody like Ron Paul is the person who can bring that back to the table.
I'm happy you brought